So Lord our God, we ask you to take the word that Christ taught us and cleanse us with it. Cleanse us from our sins, including our actions, our thoughts, and our words. Cause us to hear this word of Christ. Make it sink in deeply within us. Make it abide in our hearts, we pray, that we may live truly to your glory and praise. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, page 511. I'm going to use many texts this morning. This is one of them. Matthew 6, 16 through 18, page 511. Let us hear the word of the living God. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And this ends the reading of God's Word. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of a day of prayer and fasting. If you're a Christian, I'm assuming that prayer is a big part of your life. You pray and I pray to the Father through the mediation of His Son Christ with the aid and help of the Holy Spirit. You make your requests to God with thanksgiving. And something that supplements and helps prayer is fasting. Christian churches don't often talk of fasting, most of them. But it is a part of Holy Scripture, and it should be a part of your life and mine as well, if we are able to do it. Some medical conditions may prevent you from fasting or may prevent you from going on a full fast. And that's to be understood. Fasting is a voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. You may drink water or you can drink juice, but it's especially important that you abstain from water during your fast. Fasting could also include, if you go on a full fast, taking part in your normal activities and your normal work. That's very difficult for many people, and you may not be able to do that. But a real fast would be that. Fasting helps you to pray and have fellowship with God. It helps you do away with distraction. It's a help to your spiritual life and growth in grace. There are many examples of fasting in the Bible, and I want to mention a few. Moses said in Deuteronomy 9, verse 9, "When I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water." Deuteronomy 9:9. No one suggests you try to go without food for 40 days. Or water. Don't try this at home. He was supernaturally preserved. But he was on a fast. Again, Elijah in 1 Kings 19:8 is described here. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. 1 Kings 19:8. Again, the Lord enabled him to do this. It was a one-time thing, but he was fasting. The Lord Jesus Christ both practiced and taught fasting. He practiced fasting as recorded in Luke 4, 1 and 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they were had ended, he was hungry. Luke 4, 1 and 2. Jesus fasted. Again, the 40 days is too much for us, but he did fast. He taught fasting in Matthew 6:16, which I just read. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. And so, he assumed his disciples would fast. You see, when you fast. Now, there is a case, of course, that there is the case when he was asked why his disciples did not fast and why the disciples of John did. And his answer to that was in Matthew 9:15, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Matthew 9:15. The disciples were expected to fast after Jesus left them. And so now we are in a period in which we can fast until the Lord returns. Fasting helps our focus so that we can draw nearer to God. When you experience the hunger pangs, then you are reminded to pray for the matters for which this fast was called, which we'll get into in a moment. Fasting brings an urgency to your prayers. Fasting brings, or can bring, an intimacy to your prayers. It helps us focus on God's Word. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he was hungry, and Satan knows how to go for your weak point, and so he tempted the Lord Jesus to turn the stones into bread because he was hungry during his fast. When he answered that, when Jesus answered Satan's challenge, he said, "Man must live not by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God." It helps us draw near God and His Word. Fasting helps us also in general because we live in a self-indulgent society. We want the things we want. And we have a lot of things in America. It's true, there are poor people in America. It is true, there are people without jobs or without a job that really supports them as they should be supported. But in this self-indulgent society overall, the discipline of fasting is good for us. It reminds us of our basic needs. It reminds us of our spiritual needs. Besides the fact that there are serious moral problems in our nation for which we should pray and fast. The Presbytery of Connecticut and New York, of which we are a part as a Presbyterian church, has called for a day of fasting. It has called us to a day of teaching about fasting before the day of fasting. And so today is the day that your session, your elders decided, would be our day of teaching on this subject. And next Saturday, October 24th, is the day that we have declared a day of fasting for this congregation. We ask you to consider going on a fast on that day, next Saturday, in your own homes, in your own way. I plan to be here at the church building from 9 until 3 in the afternoon if you'd like to come by and pray with me or talk to me on the subject. So today I want to speak to you on a day of prayer and fasting under these three headings. First, an overview of the biblical teaching. Secondly, items for prayer during this fast. And thirdly, some practical matters. First of all, let me give, as brief as I can, an overview of biblical teaching. Fasting in biblical times was done at the time of a crisis. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, we read, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah." 1 Chronicles 20, verse 3. Hostile armies had come to the king and the king's people and the nation, and so he called for a fast. That's a crisis. In Judges 20, verse 26, we read, "Then the children of Israel," that is, all the people, "went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." Judges 20, 26. The Israelites were just about to go into battle, and they called a fast. That's a crisis. There was a crisis during the time of Esther. In Esther 4:16, she says, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Esther 4:16. She knew the danger of coming before the king, but her people, the Jews, were threatened to be killed and wiped out because of a lie. And she was going to the king to secure his permission for them to protect themselves. That was a crisis. Ezra proclaimed a fast in Ezra 8:21-23. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, 'The hand of our God is upon us for good to those who seek Him. But His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him.' So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer." Ezra 8:21-23, when they needed God's protection for their travels. Nehemiah spoke in Nehemiah 1, verse 4, and said, "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Nehemiah 1, 4. He was cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace, and he heard that his fellow Israelites in Jerusalem were having trouble. And so he prayed and fasted. The elders of Westchester OPC have called a fast because of the crisis of public morality in America. That crisis you all have seen and experienced. It is shown partly in the Supreme Court decision allowing the marriage of homosexuals. You and I and all people living in America have contributed to our declining morality because we're sinners. The only way for this crisis to be averted is for our God to intervene, for His gospel to be preached with the power of the Holy Spirit, that men and women and boys and girls might know the Lord and His way of life, that they might repent of their sins and come to Christ. But it's a time for us to seek the Lord's mercy, forgiveness, and guidance by prayer and fasting. So we see fasting in crisis, and then there's fasting that goes along with this very well, for repentance of sin. In 1 Samuel 7:6, so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. 1 Samuel 7:6, a fast because of sin, because of the need for repentance. In 1 Kings 21:27, we read, so it was when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. 1 Kings 21:27. You know about the fasting of the people in Nineveh when Jonah preached there and their repentance at his preaching, which, ironically, made the prophet angry. Nehemiah called for a fast also in Jerusalem as the people confessed their sins. Now, when we stop sinning, we can stop repenting and fasting. But while we're still sinning, that is, while we draw breath, we should pray and fast. There are other spiritual reasons for fasting. We find the church at Antioch fasting and praying and God separating Saul and Barnabas going on a missionary journey. We find that elders should be appointed in every church with prayer and fasting in Acts 14:23. So when we elect officers, we should pray and fast. In Matthew 17:21, we find that the apostles could not cast out demons, and Jesus said these could come out only with prayer and fasting. Scripture also teaches us, as I read earlier, in the words of Jesus, there's a right way and a wrong way to fast. When you fast, don't draw attention to yourself. The point is that you give your attention more wholeheartedly to God. And that's why Jesus said, don't scar your face up and fail to wash your face and look like something is terribly wrong with you, so people ask you, what's going on with you? So you can say, well, I'm fasting, poor me. So there's a right way and a wrong way. But that's a short biblical overview of fasting. Secondly, what items shall we pray for during this fast? I've included the insert, which is a page from the minutes of the presbytery, which gives the overture which we voted on from the session of the OPC in Hamden, Connecticut. And that sheet tells you why we did this. For what are we praying? We are praying especially for the immorality in our nation that has been approved by our government in allowing homosexual marriage. That decision was made on June 26th of this year by our Supreme Court. You know, and I know, that God made a man, and then He made a woman, and He brought the woman to the man, And they were both very pleased. They were very satisfied with that. So there was a male and a female whom God brought together in marriage right there in the Garden of Eden. Scripture forbids homosexual relations as it forbids adulterous relations, relations in fornication as well. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Our government is permitting and encouraging this sin. Not only that, those of us who disapprove of it are looked upon as sinning by disapproving of it. That's how far our nation has come. I don't mean to tell you, but this is one matter for prayer on Saturday. And along with it, prayer for repentance of those who participate in this, and prayer for repentance by ourselves for our own sins. While we condemn the sin of homosexual marriage, we also condemn all of our own sins and admit that we need forgiveness ourselves and that we need to treat other people with love and respect regardless of their sins, because we would like it if they treated us that way too. But that is a matter of prayer. We can pray for the general moral state of our nation. We can pray for God to protect His church in this nation as we are experiencing backlash from some of the new things that are being allowed today that are against God's Word. We can pray for God to use His church, that we would set an example for the world to follow, that we would pray for not only our own repentance, but those of others who are not Christians, and for their coming to Christ. What can we pray for? We can pray for our governmental leaders, and especially our President, President Obama. There may be policies which he has enforced which you do not agree with, but that does not exempt you from praying for him or me. Scripture tells us clearly to do this in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. It's your duty to pray for your president and leaders. Thirdly, some practical matters. Saturday, October 24th, we are asking you to fast. Some people, due to medical conditions, cannot go on a whole fast. People who are diabetics or who have other problems may be required to eat more frequently. In that case, you could go on a partial fast and not eat more than is necessary and pray more than is normal for you on that day. But your participation is voluntary. We are asking you to participate. We are not requiring you. We think it's a good idea. We would ask you to spend more time praying that day than you usually do. And if you're fasting when you have hunger pangs, to pray especially then. You could go on a 24-hour fast and begin, for example, just an example, at 6 p.m. Friday until 6 p.m. Saturday. You might choose a 12-hour fast all day Saturday, or you could fast for a shorter period on Saturday. But throughout the day on Saturday, we are asking you to pray intermittently and intensively as you can for these requests we have mentioned and others that come to your heart. If you could limit your activities, that would be better. But if you can't, you can still pray more than you usually pray on that day. As I mentioned earlier, I'll be here at the church. I plan to be here at the church building from 9 until 3. If you'd like to come by and pray and talk at that time. Next Sunday, we can talk to one another about the experience. If you have other questions, please feel free to speak to me or talk to me later this week. So the elders are calling for a day of prayer and fasting. Our Lord Jesus Christ fasted. He taught fasting as well. We are His disciples. By fasting, we may draw nearer and nearer to Him. We pray that He will change the direction of this nation, of the church, and of our individual lives. It isn't only the non-Christians who need to be changed. We need to be changed too. So I close with these words of God's prophet Joel in the Old Testament. Joel 2, 12 and 13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Amen. Let us pray.